Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom, shalom, and welcome again to another Hebraic Journey Through the Bible broadcast. And my name, of course, is John Wesley, and for the next 30 minutes, I will be one of your co-hosts. I am a Messianic pastor or rabbi, and our quest together is to unravel the Hebraic truths hidden deep within the New Testament scriptures of our faith. These Hebraic truths are designed to answer perplexing questions that tend to hinder our spiritual relationship with our Heavenly Father, as well as our Savior Yeshua, or Jesus. At this time, I would like to introduce to you, and I am honored to introduce to you, the other half of the co-host, and that is Evangelist Tanita Jones.
Thank you so much, Rabbi, for the introduction. I also want to say that I'm glad to be a co-host on the show with you. It is truly a blessing to share the word of God, Yah. This is our 36th show, and we will continue to address the question about how to cleanse ourselves as a living tabernacle. And I'll hand the show back over to you, Rabbi John.
All right, fantastic. So I'm going to go ahead and pray and just invite and allow the teacher, which is the Ruach HaKodesh, to come in. And then shortly after that, or right after that, then those of you who are listening who may have missed some of the different episodes, Evangelist Tanita is going to ramp up on what we talked about pertaining to this particular question, and then we will launch forward in finishing, hopefully, either in this broadcast or in the next broadcast, finishing the understanding of and answering that question. Okay? So, Father, right now, in the name of Yahushua, I thank you, first and foremost, for the opportunity to bless your name, to call out your name, and to allow you to be known near and far, Father. We thank you. We thank you for you cleansing and washing us. We thank you for forgiving us through your son, Yeshua, forgiving us of our sin, our iniquity, and transgression. And Father, we choose by way of your Spirit to also walk in forgiveness for others who have caused sin against us, iniquity and transgression against us and our family. Father, we do as Stephen did and as Yeshua, when he was on the cross, did. We say forgive them because they truly do not know what they're doing. Amen. So, Father, with that, we open the spiritual airways and we ask for you to begin to manifest in this broadcast the fullness of your truth so that your Spirit can begin to redeem us in areas of our life that we have a lack of peace, spiritual and natural and mental disease, that you will come by your Spirit and touch us where we need it most. We thank you for that. We honor you and glorify you for that. In Yahushua's name, amen.
Amen. And so, as Rabbi said, we're going to continue to answer the question of how can we properly cleanse ourselves as living tabernacles unto Yah in order to host the presence of Yah as it relates to items found in the tabernacle. And we started out, or our scripture basis was Romans chapter 12, 1 through 4. Now, Rabbi started last show with talking about the 60 times that he repented for each cookie that he ate. And I thought that was a very good example of showing the 61 steps of repentance. But like he said, he didn't actually repent 61 times. Why? Because his will knew that what he was doing was wrong. But his emotions was leading him to his fleshly desires of eating those cookies. Now, true repentance, as he stated, is godly sorrow, not worldly sorrow. And to totally hate to do what you're doing that's wrong and desire to do those things that are right. And the reason being because the things that are wrong will begin to affect your relationship with Yah. Now, remember, the soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions. Another example that he was also telling us is that your will is the gatekeeper of the soul. If you continue to succumb to your desires, then you'll continue to sin in those fleshly desires. So we have to discipline ourselves. We have to be willing to submit and follow Yah in the soulish realm. And he gave another example of the children of Israel, how they were so protected by Balaam that he could not even curse them, but he knew how to get them to curse themselves by their only lustful desire. The scripture also that he gave us was 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 9 through 10, and I won't read that because it deals with proper repentance. But the question is, which one will you obey? Because whichever one you desire to obey is the one you become a slave to. And so, Rabbi John, oh, and one last thing. You also used the example of a spouse. And you were saying, you know, you could cause distress in your spousal relationship when you don't walk in harmony. But you, you were saying, as a husband, you always look for opportunities of how to bring joy to your spouse and to make them to be glad that they're married to you. And you were telling us that we should have that same desire in our personal relationship with Yah. And so I'll hand that back over to you, Rabbi John.
Amen. That was an excellent, excellent dissertation and summary. And I want to pick it up there and understand that it's not just, it is what she said, but it's not, which is, of course, what the Lord gave me last week. But we're going to take it a step further this week. It's also your relationship with that spouse, husband and wife, your relationship, for those of you that understand the construct of the word, the bride of Christ. It's your relationship with Yeshua. Oftentimes, especially as Messianic Jews, we get so caught up in the do's and don'ts of the Torah that we lose total sight of the fact that the Torah points to the living Torah, which is Yeshua, our husband. So it's imperative that we begin to get a fuller understanding that I'm doing this not because I must do it, not because I'm just a slave to it, but because my compassion and passion for my spouse is encompassed and wrapped in it. It's because when I do it, it is the embodiment of my spouse. And a beautiful way to explain that, which has totally been distorted and perverted, is a scripture that hopefully we're going to bring a little bit more light in the darkness that was being used by this scripture in the New Testament, and that is in Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. When you go back and actually construct it properly in accordance with the Torah, in accordance with the Old Testament understanding of what the New Testament is trying to reveal, what you begin to see immediately is, as a bride anyway, as a bride, you begin to see that these holy convocations that it's talking about in verse 16 point to and become the embodiment of our husband Yeshua in verse 17. So in verse 17, when it says, but the body, but, you know, Christ is, or the body of Christ, okay, that but should never be there in our New Testament Bibles. It should not be there. And I'll make the correction for you so that it actually fits properly and flows and doesn't contradict the Old Testament, but complements it as a bride walking in and fulfilling the relationship that we as brides should be, ought to be, and must to fulfill our ultimate love for our spiritual husband, Yeshua. So Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17.
Okay. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, and this is the New King James Version, Rabbi John. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual psalms, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord.
Oh,
and whatever.
And now that's good. That's good. That's good. But I want to apologize. It's chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. But we're
okay.
going to come back to that because that's good.
Okay.
That is delicious. Okay, that was delicious.
Okay.
Okay, but we got to get the main course before we go for the dessert. That's the dessert. Okay,
okay.
So everybody remember, right. That is the dessert, and it's kosher. It's kosher. Okay, but
that's
we're coming
right.
back to that dessert. Amen. Go ahead.
Oh, so Colossians 2:16-17. So let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbath. Which are a shadow.
If you can stop
it.
Could you stop there just for a second? Let no one, that means Rabbi John, that means a Christian pastor, that means anyone, judge you in kashrut. Kashrut is the Hebrew term, or you know, the Jewish term, for dietary laws. Now, this has often been perverted. And it's often been stated in a manner of speaking from a Christian perspective that that means that you can eat anything you want and that it will not come against you, both spiritually, physically, emotionally, or any other way, which scientists have proven that to be false. They have proven that gout directly comes from shrimp, and shrimp is a part of the dietary laws of what is unclean and that we should not eat because it has an enzyme that doesn't kill it when it is a bottom feeder or when it begins to eat those things that are toxic, okay? God designed the animals, obviously, and in his perfect design of the animals, they all of those that we would call garbage eaters or individuals that or animals that would eat the things that have been dead and decayed and have, toxins, they do not die because God created them with an enzyme that keeps them from dying and breaks it down for them. We don't have that enzyme. So from a scientific standpoint, if we eat those things that they eat, which have toxins, and we don't have the enzymes to deal with those toxins, we get sick, we get dis-ease. And that dis-ease begins to separate us, not just from God, it separates us from His glory, from His divine health that we're supposed to walk in. Okay? No, it doesn't send us to hell, but it does make our stay on earth miserable and very short. Okay, so I want to make sure that that's clear before we go further. Now, with that understanding, and without going into the whole dissertation with Paul, if you want to know those types of things about Paul and where his stand was with Torah and all of that, at the end of this cast, Evangelist Tanita will give you information for you if you so desire and you want to go into the deep things or the deeper things of Yah.
Mm-hmm.
We have a class that is getting ready to start in January timeframe, and you will be able to enroll in that and get information about that to make sure that this is something that you want to pursue. It does come with a degree, and it is accredited school. So just keep those things in mind. Now, back to the broadcast. One of the things that you want to make sure that you understand with us reading this forward is that not only is the kashrut or the dietary laws something that Paul was not against, but the other aspects of Torah, the main aspects of Torah, talking about things that you find in Leviticus chapter 23 pertaining to the biblical feasts.
Mm-hmm.
These were the feasts that he was talking about. Now, if he was against these feasts, then we know it was never a hypocrite. He would not tell a Gentile to do something or not do something that he would do or not do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's imperative to understand that as he's talking to the Messianic congregation in Colossae, that he is not telling them not to do this. He is trying to explain to them, as brides, how by doing these things, that they begin to allow the embodiment of the essence of who and what Yeshua is to us, to begin to manifest in their life. So with that, we're going to go ahead and finish verse 17, and hopefully I won't interrupt you too abruptly, and then I'll catch that in at the end. All right?
Yes.
Getting a little bit 17. Excited on this end, if you know what I mean.
It's all right. It's good, Rabbi. Which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. And that's the end of 17.
All right. That word but, when you go back and look at it in the Greek, that word but is not there. It has been inserted. The word should be and, A-N-D in the English. It should say, and this is the embodiment of Christ. What should be in brackets, inserted so it makes more sense in English, is this is. Okay? So in other words, your obedience in walking in Torah, especially those holy convocations that he was referring to, is the embodiment, that is the embodiment of Christ. That is the embodiment of your husband. That is the obedience to let yourself, your husband, and others around you know that you are betrothed to him. If you were to watch someone and you knew that they had a ring, an engagement ring that said that that individual was engaged, was betrothed to another individual, but you begin to watch their life and their lifestyle, and you could tell that they were flirting and beginning to build intimate types of relationships with other individuals, there are two things that are going to resonate with you very quickly. Number one, they truly don't love the individual to whom they have been betrothed to. And number two, they don't value the relationship with that other individual in a manner of speaking as it is supposed to be. Those two things are what the Father is saying will cause tremendous problems in our life. And with those two things, you have to make a soulish decision to participate in that before the manifestation type of disobedience happens. So in other words, your thought life has to be so inundated with that type of lifestyle to where it begins to bombard, and we've talked about this before, but it's so important that we kind of touch base back on this again, to the point to where it begins to take your will. That's the gatekeeper, as we talked about before. It begins to take your will captive. So your will has been put under house arrest because your thought life is being bombarded with thoughts that are contrary to the definition of being betrothed to Yeshua. And that definition has within it all of the attributes of the character and the desires of your husband. So your husband, in this particular case, not only verbalizes but writes down, which is the written Torah, his understanding of your relationship with him. Why in the first place that he bought you with a price? Why he took you away from all of your other suitors and showed you why it was imperative that you wear his ring and you stay committed to him until he comes back, until he gets the sign from his Father to go and get your bride. There are signs in the heavens that are being manifested even as we speak. The 14th and the 15th of November, there were at least visually 4 meteors or comets or whatever you want to call them, asteroids, that flew across the heavens, across the skies, And some, at least over 1,000 individuals saw these different signs. These signs are there not just for the unbeliever, but it's mm-hmm. for the believer. It's for the bride to have hope, to be encouraged in knowing that the Father is getting ready to tell the Son, our bridegroom, to go and send forth his groomsmen. That's talked about in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13, to finish the ancient Jewish wedding, what is in the Hebrew called Nisuin, the Nisuin period, or Nisuin stage, excuse me, to finish it. So it's imperative that as we answer this question, we also know that it has, the answer to the question has tremendous relevance to where we are now and to what we truly should be doing and how we truly should be prepared. Now, I know and we know that we are bombarded with all types of temptations and enticed, as we've talked about in the last broadcast. But I want to make sure you understand that 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verses, and we've covered this, chapter 7 verses 9 to about 11 or 12, talks about the difference between the godly sorrow and the steps of true repentance. Now that's in the New Testament, but in the Old Testament, I was blessed in our devotional time between my wife and myself, that the Lord had just dropped a rich nugget of scripture to her. Although she was not aware of where I was pertaining to this broadcast. And I want to share that scripture because in the Old Testament, that just leaps off the page and says, this is what is going to help you. This is what's going to help deliver you. This is what's going to help keep you. And it's in Proverbs, and I'm going to have Evangelist Tanita read this. In Proverbs chapter 16, and she's going to read 1 through 3. Okay.
Okay.
Uh-huh. But I'm going to read it in King James, the actual verse, so that you can see the difference if it doesn't echo the same in the new King James. But you go ahead and read 1 through 3, Proverbs chapter 16. Okay? Go ahead.
1 through 3. Okay. Proverbs 16, 1 through 3, New King James. The preparations of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man is pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And you read it, it does read the same as I have it in the King James, and it says, commit thy works unto mm-hmm. the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Now, in some translations, if you're following us, in some translations, actually in most other translations, the word thoughts is not used there. It says plans. In other words, the design or the intentions of an individual. It's imperative mm-hmm. to know, when you go back into the Hebrew, which I did, you begin to see that the word plans there is just a subset of the overarching understanding of what God is saying here. He's saying your very thoughts. That means all of your thoughts, not just a plan that you have here or there. You may have a plan to do something here and maybe another plan to do something there, but that doesn't what? It doesn't overarch your whole thought realm. And what mm-hmm. the Father is saying here is he's saying when you begin to be obedient, that is the beginning of your deliverance.
Amen.
The beginning of your deliverance starts with obeying what your spiritual husband and his father says you ought to do.
Yes.
It may not make sense in your finite mind because you're saying, why or how in the world, in this world, does that bring the deliverance from the world to come because I'm being obedient. Well, this is how we're going to break it down for you. We'll begin to break it down now, and then after this, we'll go into an understanding of how this actually works in next broadcast. First and foremost, understand this. You don't accidentally do something that gives you divine pleasure or distorted pleasure. It has to come from a thought first. We talked about Adam and Eve and how Eve was oblivious, and of course Adam was as well, but Eve was oblivious to the motive of the serpent's heart. The serpent had been completely filled and inundated with the devil. And as the serpent was speaking to her, she was unaware that this serpent was being controlled by and manipulated by the devil himself. But she was also unaware of any thought other than the obedience to the Father in heaven and her husband. She had no desire to disobey her husband or disrespect her husband or to do it her own way. She was totally subservient and committed to their relationship. She knew of no other, both in her thought realm, in her desire, as well as in her very emotion. She knew of no other desire or will to do something that was in any way diaposing to the fullness of who God had called her to be and what God had created her as a part of and unified with her husband. It wasn't until another thought, another what I call an original thought, came into being that she began to ponder or think on that for the very first time. What does that say to you and me? What it says is this. We now are in a situation or a position where we must filter. She had no ability or knowledge of filtering. She could not determine or even understand the difference between a spirit of God and a spirit of darkness trying to steal her relationship, her covenant relationship with her husband and with her father. We will get into more detail pertaining to this and pertaining to how this very aspect, to include Proverbs chapter 16, verse 2, how the deliverance takes place by the obedience of the individual. And understand, as I get ready to pass it to Evangelist Tanita Jones pertaining to all the other information about us and how to connect if you so desire, one of the things that you need to make sure that you understand pertaining to this particular question and pertaining to where we need to be going is the fact that the adversary is very much aware that your obedience will begin to fulfill a pure exorcism, if you will, or deliverance from what you have done as far as your disobedience. Evangelist Tanita, I'm going to pass it to you at this time.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Rabbi John. And again, another great show. I'm excited about continuing to learn about how we're to properly cleanse ourselves. And so for those of you who don't know, we have the show weekly on Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you have questions, you can email us at tjonesdts@gmail.com. The ministry is Beth Hashem Ministries, and we have two websites. It's Beth Hashem, and we have two websites. It's called it's www.bethashem.org. We have a Facebook page, and that is www.facebook.com/Beth Hashem Ministries. And as the rabbi mentioned earlier about going into a more in-depth understanding and understanding Hebraic, understanding of the Bible as a whole. You, if you desire to attend Zuhl College, you can email us at OFFICE, that's office, at Bethesham.org. If you desire to attend services, if you would please email us at Bethesham@yahoo.com. That is BethesHashem@yahoo.com. Thank you for attending the show, and I'll hand it back over to you, Rabbi Dunn.
Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We just submit everything that has been said to you, Father, that it not fall on deaf ears and that it not be polluted or tainted or are in any way distorting the truth of what your word is saying, not only to them but to us. Father, we thank you for that. We honor you. We bless your holy name. And, Father, we ask that it begin to resonate within the spirit that's in each and every one of the listeners that's listening right now, that it begins to point out on a personal level, on a micro level, that it begins to point out those things that they and we need to begin to correct and begin to walk in the obedience of deliverance so that we can walk in the fullness of your purpose for us here. Until next time, shalom, shalom.